In today's episode of the Full Brewski Podcast, CJ and I are going to be ranking all 32 NFL teams heading into the 2025 season. You're not going to want to miss it. This is the Full Brewski Podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has three touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that six or seven spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome to the Full Brewski Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. I'm Chris Kostich, he's CJ Medeiros. Happy 4th of July to all that celebrated this past weekend. What'd you do for the 4th, CJ?
Just kind of kept it low key. Oh, there are some fireworks in the neighborhood. You kind of see over the trees. Mostly just, you know, hanging out outside, grilling and chilling.
Heck yeah.
It's the American dream,
man. Chilling. Same thing with me. I went to my girlfriend's grandparents' house on the 4th. It was a good time. Hung out by the pool. A lot of dogs in the area. A lot of good dogs. Got to see some good fireworks too.
Nah, that's always good.
It's always good. Especially at the Woo Sox on July 3rd. That was a good fireworks show.
Yep.
Yeah. But 32 team ranking. It's going to be fun. We usually do in years past, we usually do our top 10 teams, but we decided today, let's have a little fun. So we do not have this 32 team ranking set. So that's basically the episode. CJ and I are going to create this right now. So number 32, CJ, the worst team in the NFL. Who do you have?
This requires no thought. It's the New Orleans Saints.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah. Look, we can bash on the Saints forever, but we know you don't want to hear that. Here's a quick rundown. Your QB1 going into the year, more likely than not, is going to be the ancient, for a rookie at least, Tyler Shuck. You're still in cap hell. Chris Olave needs to be signed. That hasn't happened. You're in this awful drafting slump. Like, just there's like no explosiveness on the roster, and your head coach is Kellen Moore. I mean, I got no beef with Kellen Moore. Don't get me wrong. None at all. But it kind of felt like you were scraping there because he wasn't considered that much of a candidate. You know what I mean? For head coach.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. I don't really have much more to say about the Saints besides the fact that they freaking suck.
Yeah.
Number 31.
George Manning.
Yeah. That's all I got. Poor guy. Number 31. I had a couple teams in mind for 31. I mean, honestly, you could just throw the bottom five of the league in any of these spots, and it would be fine by me. I was thinking the Jets for number 31.
Your reasoning?
My reasoning is that, I mean, this roster you could debate is a worse roster than last year. You have a worse quarterback than you did last year. You do have a new head coach in Aaron Glenn, which is good. But, you know, how good of a head coach will Aaron Glenn be? Is he just going to be a great defensive coordinator, shit head coach, or is he just going to be a great coach all around?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. For me personally, who I had at 31 was a little different. Okay. I personally had the Titans.
Okay.
I don't know if we were doing it separately or not.
No. This is great. This is up for debate. I like it.
All right.
The whole point.
So basically, like I said, I basically had the Jets. Like, you know, I mean the Titans. I mean the Jets for reference are my number 30. I think they're interchangeable. The only reason I said the Titans were as bad as they are, or you know, just because I don't know, man. Like, it's just not that good of a, you know, they're just not that good of a team. I don't think they improved all that much, and it's going to be like hell for Cam Ward. And sorry if I stammered Adams in my ear, and rightfully so. This is on the fly. Thanks, Adam. You're doing a good job. But I still respect the pick. So number 30, I guess, is still the Titans, you know, because apparently we're now going to alternate, like, whoever – is going
against the Titans. That's not the point of this.
It's a tradition now. It's a tradition now. But yeah, still the Titans for all the reason I said. We're kicking off back to Chris. Who's your 29?
29? I was in between probably the Jaguars, or can't forget about the Browns, but like the thing with the Browns is that they're definitely going to have a better year this year, right? Like that was a team that was,
yeah,
like half of it was injured. I mean, our friend of the show, Tony Pauline, was raving about them when we were talking to him about Shedeur Sanders. But not
quite, but yeah, we could.
Yeah. I think I'm going to have to go with the Giants though.
Absolutely. Just,
yeah. I think that's the safe play right there at 29.
Yeah. I wholeheartedly agree, man.
Yeah.
And by the way, Chris, one thing I want to add about the Giants, you know, the old saying, when you have two quarterbacks, you really have none. Well, the Giants have three. So how does that math work out? Well,
exactly.
Three quarterbacks, and now you've got what, negative one? Or do you owe the universe a quarterback? I don't know.
Like, your only hope really is to hope that Jackson Dart shows some sort of promise during training camp, where you can start him in like week four or whatever time that you do end up starting him.
Because Russ and Jameis aren't long-term answers. And like, I like Tyrone Tracy at running back. I love Malik Nabers at wide receiver. They have got some good pieces on defense, but just also one thing that you got to realize is going into this year, the Giants have the hardest schedule in the league, and it is not close.
Yeah.
So it's just not looking good.
Makes sense.
So
28, what are we thinking here?
28, this is where I'd go Cleveland. Hey, look, you got Myles Garrett back. You know, his tantrum subsided. That's cool. We like that. You lost Nick Chubb. That sucks. I mean, what? You got Jerome Ford now. Old man Joe Flacco's back, you know, for another go of it. Or you've got Super Bowl champion Kenny Pickett. I like Jerry Jeudy, wide receiver. I like Njoku, a tight end. You know, they still got Denzel Ward there. This is a team that has some pieces. And honestly, I think Joe Flacco is capable of holding it down for a year while either Dylan Gabriel or Shedeur Sanders develop. But at the end of the day, it's a clown show just from top to bottom. And they do have some good pieces, like I said, but that's all I can say. And I feel like Stefanski's probably going to get canned, even though, let's be real, it's not his fault. It's GM Andrew Berry's fault, but no.
What are you going to do? So what are we on now? 27.
27, that's right.
27. 27, just looking at some of the other teams that finished below six wins this year. The thing is, like, I want to rank, like, save these teams to rank them higher. That's my problem, because
I do have some thoughts, though, for whatever you decide.
Yeah. Like, I'm just laying out, like, my thinking process right now.
I hear you. Mine might be a bit hot, though, but.
Yeah, like, I have to remind myself there's a lot of other really good teams in the league when thinking about these decisions. So, with that being said, I'm going to go with Vegas at 27.
Yeah, I hear you. I do.
They improved a lot, though. That's the thing.
Yeah, they did.
They improved a lot. So it's like, how do you rank these above, like, say, the Panthers, for example?
Yeah, the thing with Vegas, though, is that they're one of those teams that I know deep down is not, they're not going for a Super Bowl. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Like, Vegas at 27, like, a reason you can put them down there is because they're not aiming for the Super Bowl. They're aiming to be better. The Pete Carroll, Geno Smith era isn't supposed to be a long-term thing. It's not, you know, because they're not trying to win at all. This is just trying to get a clean slate, trying to get back to 500, and then maybe let a different QB and coach take the reins in the future. This is strictly a cleanup year for Vegas, which is why I think 27 would be a good spot for them, like you said.
So would you put them at 27, or do you want to go with another one?
No, personally, I go with Indy. Well, I'm sorry. I don't care. This is one of those teams where, yeah, they've got some really good pieces on both sides of the ball, you know, such as Michael Pittman and Jonathan Taylor and all of them. But, oh, my God, your QB battle is Anthony Richardson and Daniel Jones. Anthony Richardson, who cannot hit a five-yard checkdown, and then Daniel Jones, who, you know, is the turf monster's favorite victim. So that's me personally. I would go the Colts at 27 and the Raiders probably at 26.
Yeah. But my thing too, though, is like, is that the Colts, like, I feel like their biggest problem besides like maybe some maybe some spots on defense is their quarterback play at that point, though. So I feel like that as a team holistically, they are better than the Raiders.
Yeah, fair. Yeah. So,
you want to go, how about this?
Yeah, let's go. We will go Raiders then. Yeah.
And then
I'll put Colts at 26.
I like that. Yeah. I think that I feel good with that.
Yep. I hear you. So for me at
25.
Oh, that's easy. This is where I'm going, Jacksonville.
Yeah, I was thinking that too.
This is single-handedly the put up or shut up year for Trevor Lawrence.
Yeah.
Like, I don't care that they signed him to this big deal. If it's now or never, you've got an offensive-minded head coach in Liam Cohen. You got a fun new toy in Travis Hunter. You got Brian Thomas Jr., and the defense did add some pieces. So, literally, like I said, it's now or never. Like, if you do not have your breakout season now, you probably never will.
Yeah. No, 100% agree on this one. It's a big big Travis Hunter year potentially, and all eyes are on Trevor Lawrence. So, And I'd have to agree. Even with like some of the moves that they've made, especially with the new head coach, big draft, I feel like those few moves aren't going to be what gets them to be, say, a top 15 team in the league. 24. I think 24 is where I'm going to go with Carolina here. I'm actually stuck between Carolina and I'm going to throw out Miami as two that I would put here.
Personally, I would go Carolina.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why. Because, look, when you think about the Panthers, they're one of those teams that had a lot of moral victories last season. Like, oh, they played a contender and they made them sweat it out. They proved they could hang. Well, I don't want you to hang with contenders. I want you to beat them. And look, the Bryce Young resurgence was a cute story, but the stats, not even just the eye test, the real stats, like advanced passing and everything, tell you a very different story. But then again, he was already starting from such a low level that any incremental change would have looked great. So I like the Panthers here. I think they've got a lot of room to improve. But once again, it's all on Bryce Young.
Yeah. No, I agree too. So let's go Panthers for 24.
Yeah.
23, what are you thinking?
23. This is honestly where I would put the Cardinals. The Cardinals are, for me, and I think I said this during our NFC West preview, a very high floor, low ceiling kind of team. Like, they're going to be a lock, I think, to get at least 6, maybe 7 wins, but they're also in a tough division. That's going to suck. And their defense is reliable, but there's really no star power. And look, I know the saying about, oh, you know, a big name is just a name, but there are big names for a reason. So, and once again, if the chemistry between
going to 20,
I'm just saying, if the chemistry between Marvin Harrison Jr. and Kyler Murray doesn't improve, then they're not going to go anywhere. Because let's be real, there's no chemistry between them.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see how that chemistry holds up for, or if any forms for next season. Yeah, I honestly would have put Dolphins 23 and Cardinals 22 because.
Well, you have 22 before we go to break.
Yeah, let's go. Let's go Dolphins for 22 and go to break on that, because like my main thing is you. I don't think you can look at that the recent Ramsey Minkah Fitzpatrick trade and say that either team got better. I feel like I personally, I feel like the Dolphins got worse, especially getting rid of Jonnu Smith. And now you pick up Darren Waller in that trade with the Giants out of thin air, or he comes out of retirement to come play for you. I don't know. That's just me, but yeah.
Yep.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to get into 21 to 11 of our team rankings. This is the Fumble Rooski podcast.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6 or 7 spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Rooski podcast. CCJ Medeiros, I'm Chris Kostich, doing team rankings 32-1 for the NFL. And right now we're going to now get into 21-11. Solid start so far. Solid start, I'd say. I think this is a very good list that we have compiled together.
Absolutely. So I'm going to open up at 21 and I'm going to put New England. Yep. And man, what a turnaround they've had from being. And look, here's the thing. This is one of those times where, you know, there's that old saying, you are what your record says you are. New England was probably a 1-16 team masquerading as 4-13. They had no business beating Buffalo. But then again, you know, it's like a well-established fact that Buffalo threw the game, you know, with multiple punts inside the New England 40. It's like that. A lot of people disagree, but they're wrong. And, you know, Mayo trying to win the team, you know, and Mayo trying to win that last game as Spike because he knew he was out the door. But whatever. The thing with New England is that despite the fact, even though their record says they weren't, they were the worst team in the league. You had this massive free agency splurge where you brought in guys like Stephon Diggs, Morgan Moses, Milton Williams, Carlton Davis. You drafted guys like Travion Henderson and Will Campbell in the draft. They crushed. They got an A-plus in free agency, an A-plus in the draft. So, yeah, this is enough to get you to go from like anywhere from 30 to 32 to 21. Easy. You know, Vrabel's going to be a good head coach. A lot of it's going to be on Drake May. And to be fair, I'm still not stoked about their wide receiver core. But as a whole, I can't hate it. There's why I definitely think they belong outside of the bottom 10.
Yeah. No, I'd agree with that. I think, like, from where they were last year and with all the moves they made, they 100% got better. But the question is how much better. So I think it's safe to leave them out of like the top 20. As Pat's fan saying that, of course. Mm-hmm. But speaking of 20, let's go to number 20. For number 20, just looking through teams right now. Let's go with the Seattle Seahawks.
I can see it.
I like the Seahawks at 20. Would you agree with that?
Personally, no. I have them a lot higher just because of their roster. But the thing that's holding them back is I want to see more from Mike McDonald, and I need to be assured that Sam Darnold is not a one-year wonder.
Yeah. That's kind of where I'm getting at here is, like, when you look at the Seahawks from last season, and we talked about it too last week, yeah, when we were talking about the NFC West, this was we talk about some of the teams that were really inconsistent and very up and down throughout the season. The Seahawks were in that tier of, like, they had a really good win here, they competed in this week, and then they fell flat in this week, and it's like, what's going on here? So that's kind of what I was thinking. Seahawks are a little farther back, and like you said, like, we don't know if this Sam Darnold year was just a one-year wonder, and Mike McDonald being more of a defensive-minded guy, whereas Sam Darnold was originally with a coach that was a very good offensive mind. Don't know what's going to happen with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who would you have thrown at 20? How about that?
Personally, I would have gone with, well, we're going to move on to 19. This is where I'm putting the Chicago Bears. Okay. As well, I would have had a 20. The Bears are kind of like the New England Patriots in the sense where they improved just as much, but they were starting from a bit of a higher floor than New England was. They finally were able to lure Ben Johnson out of Detroit. You know, Caleb Williams, I think, should take another step. Same thing with Roma Dunze. You got DJ Moore. They finally beefed up the offensive line. You know, their defense should continue to improve. And, you know, like I said, like they trade for Joe Tooney. That was also huge. Colston Loveland should come out and be a big volume target guy for him as well. You know, the tight end they drafted. So, yeah, honestly, the Bears deserve to be top 20, especially now they got like a real legitimate coach, not that bum Matt Eberflus. And Caleb Williams should progress because he did show a lot of flashes his rookie year.
I think them just having Ben Johnson in general is enough to make him a top 20 team. Like that was the biggest thing holding them back last year was coaching. So mm-hmm. Yeah, and an interior line. So that's why you go get Joe Tooney. But 18, I'm thinking between the Falcons and the Cowboys right now. It's kind of,
I personally would lean Dallas.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking too. Cause even though like the Falcons last year was such a weird team, I think you need to get out of that. Like, I think it's like a year two of like a team like that ends up coming out of that.
Yeah.
So I think I like Cowboys at 18. How about Falcons at 17?
Yeah, I could definitely do that. That's where I would go. And the thing with Dallas at 18, everybody says there's three phases of the game, right? Offense, defense, and special teams. But I would argue there's four. And it's the fourth is where Cowboys fall the hardest. That's coaching. That was a horrible move to hire Brian Schottenheimer. And that in and of itself is going to keep Dallas at the top 15. And also Dallas is quickly becoming very hollowed out. Like all their money is going to their stars. They still have to pay Micah Parsons. They traded for George Pickens, but that's like reshuffling deck chairs on the Titanic. Because I don't care how good he may or may not be, at the end of the day, he's a one-year rental. So moving on to number 17, like we agreed upon, you got the Atlanta Falcons. I really want to see what Michael Penix can do. I definitely think he's going to take a step. You know, Bijan Robinson broke out. Drake London. Hey, I cannot wait to see him, you know, with like hopefully a competent quarterback in Penix. They finally picks the pass rush, you know, spending two first round picks on edge rusher. And maybe, just maybe, Kyle Pitts will break out. And I'm telling you, I'm getting real sick of playing will he, won't he with Pitts.
I got the answer for you. He won't.
He won't.
But, yeah, Dallas, they're going to have Dak back. But, like you said, coaching, and they've spent so much money on their stars that they've, as you mentioned, hollowed out. Falcons, they got the talent there. It's just what kind of quarterback player are you going to get?
All right. So what are you thinking for 16?
16. 16. I'd go the Bengals at 16, to be honest. Actually, yeah. No. Stop myself there. Stop. Steelers.
Yeah. Let me tell you something. The Pittsburgh Steelers are actually a really scary team if it was 2020. That's pretty much it. This is the last dance team. This is, you know, you got all the unks coming out of retirement, or not coming out of retirement, but right on like the doorstep of retirement, you know, Aaron Rodgers, Darius Slay, along with a washed Jalen Ramsey. And I mean, you got DK Metcalf. He's at least still good. But yeah, will this finally put Mike Tomlin below 500? No one knows. That's the
world may never know.
I give it a few months. But Then, of course, we got to move on to 15.
Yep.
And that's got to be where I, you know, this is playoff territory. This is probably where I want to put the Bengals, but
yeah,
I'm going to put the Niners.
Yeah, that's right.
Because the Niners, once again, they're another team that just, I keep saying it only because it's true, they got mauled to death in free agency. Anyone who could leave did. You know, Laken Tomlinson, I believe, is gone. Talanoa Hufanga, Dre Greenlaw. They traded, what's his name there? They traded Deebo Samuel, that's his name. And Brock Purdy, you're not going to have the Avengers. Let's see what you can do. That's pretty much it for the Niners. Like, they're a fringe playoff team. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're still good, but they're going back down to earth a bit.
They're not a top 10 team anymore.
No,
that's not basically at all. It. Like, they're like this year, they're probably going to be like on the cusp of a playoff spot, and that's it, really.
Yeah, pretty much.
And speaking of being on the cusp of a playoff spot, I would honestly throw the Bengals at 14.
Yeah, rightfully so.
Yeah, because like you got this contract dispute with Trey Hendrickson. Now you got a contract dispute with your freaking rookie. Like I don't – the talent on the team is there, but like with so much outside noise going on, you don't know what the hell's about to happen.
Yeah, I also – don't like Zach Taylor as a head coach. That offense is going to be insane. They're going to put up some of the best numbers in the league. But that defense is like tying an anchor to Usain Bolt, you know?
Yeah.
He's going to move around a bit, but it's not going to look all that good. And the Bengals are just a pathetic team all around. Like, imagine literally trying to bully a rookie into getting a contract that's basically meant to screw them over. And the only reason why they're doing it is because Joe Burrow pretty much emasculated them, basically saying, you better sign Chase and Higgins or else. So, but yeah, based on the talent level alone of Burrow, Chase and Higgins, you got to put the Bengals top 15. The defense keeps them out of the top 10.
Unfortunately. It unfortunately does. Number 12. Wait, 13. What number are we on? 13. Fuck. Losing count. Thanks. For 13, I'm thinking the Texans.
Yeah.
I'm Texans or Broncos here. That's what I'm thinking.
Personally, I'd go with Denver because I remember Houston beat them.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. All right. So
I mean, like, that's literally like, that's the decider. Houston beat.
I don't know though. Them, like,
so that's literally case closed.
I guess like, yeah, but now we're looking at this year though. Like Houston's going to be a better team than what they were last year. You would assume.
Yeah. Plus Denver's schedule is a little tougher.
Is it?
Yeah. Cause I mean, I don't even think they beat like a single playoff team all last year, Denver.
I can't remember right now at the top of my head, but I'm more thinking like Denver's, I feel like just Denver overall, like was able to come together, like around the defense, like the defense is still very good for Denver. And I think the offense can pick it up as well. Like they got some good talent on offense. Houston is also in that kind of inconsistent category. You know what I mean? Like where I feel like Houston would be better off at 13 compared to Denver at like 12.
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah. Didn't Denver actually just get J.K. Dobbins?
They did. But they did. Is he even going to play a whole year?
Yeah, that too. Ah! All right. Denver 13, Houston 12. How about that?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
So right,
give me number 11.
All right. So for reference, everyone, Denver is going to be number 13 and number 12. We got the Texans. And I know losing Diggs is going to hurt, but you got Christian Kirk. You're going to be fine. Nico Collins is going to be back healthy. And you got another year of Will Anderson to improve. And, hey, Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter, that is a solid duo.
Yeah. Number 11. I was thinking the Chargers.
Yeah.
Yeah. easily. I mean, like, I think that the main real big. Yeah, that's right. If we're using the playoff, if we're using the playoff theory of Texans Chargers or with Texans Broncos, then theoretically, wouldn't you have to make the same thing for Texans Chargers?
Yeah. By the way, earlier about the playoff theory, I didn't mean the Texans beat the Broncos. I meant the Texans won and the Broncos lost, and the Broncos lost in embarrassing fashion.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know what that was about. I mean, yeah, I would actually switch Texans and Chargers personally.
Yeah. You want to switch it then?
Yes. I think we'd be allowed to. And anyone who says otherwise, I don't know. We just got to sit them in the corner.
This is an open debate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly,
put the Chargers outside the top 10, though. And the reason being, I want to make this abundantly clear. I got to say this. They're just not an explosive team. I'm sorry. Like, you got why are you not explosive? Like, when you have Justin Herbert and you're not creating fireworks, I know you don't need to have an explosive offense to win, but they went in to this offseason, I believe, top 10 in cap space, maybe even top 5, and you still don't have a wide receiver one. Like, how did you let that happen? And I need to see one more year from McConkey because he strikes me as a really high-end two.
Yeah.
I think he could be a one, but even if he is, then it's McConkey and, like, nobody else. Because Josh Palmer's gone, and Quentin Johnston, I just don't think has hands, like, at all.
I also just wasn't a real big fan of the Chargers offseason either.
Like, no.
A big fan. Like, Texans at least made some moves to, like, improve on, because you're not gonna have Tank Dell, but you were able to, you're gonna be without Tank Dell. You just lost Diggs, but you're able to at least get another wide receiver fill that hole. Whereas, like, Chargers still don't really have a bona fide wide receiver one, as you mentioned. All right. Let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're gonna get into the top 10 teams in the NFL. For the 2025 season. Don't go anywhere.
It may not have always showed it in the stat sheet, but you can see him making throws when he needs to make the throws.
Back-to-back games where he has 3 touchdowns.
Someone's got to get that 6th or 7th spot.
He's an elite wide receiver as a rookie.
Truly a lose-lose scenario for both sides.
Welcome back to the Fumble Risky Podcast by Power 88 Dean Radio and Secret Weapon Consulting. He's CJ, I'm Chris. Top 10 teams in the NFL heading into the 2025 season. This could be some fun debate. I love it. I love this so much. I can't wait.
Terrifying.
To argue with you for the next 20 minutes or however long. I already know that you and I are going to have different top 10. So we're just going to argue.
All right.
I know. I'm now seeing that you actually have the Seahawks as a top 10 team.
Yeah, I mean, I could hear you, but it's like, I'm just saying roster-wise. But yeah, no, I can adjust. For number 10, give me Green Bay.
Yeah, that's who I had as number 10.
And I need to see more from Jordan Love outside of Toyota-thon. Because, like, don't get me wrong, we all know the legend of Toyota-thon, Jordan Love, and he's very good. But that's I Toyota thought, not so much. And it's not him I want to see more out of per se. It's his wide receiver room. It's a really crowded room. And it's not because all these guys are starting caliber, but someone's going to be in a 3-receiver set. Someone's going to be the odd man out. And it's not going to be Matthew Golden. You just drafted him. Unless you have that throw him at the bottom of the depth chart and make him work his way up approach, which has never worked in the history of ever. You got Jaden Reed, who I feel like was there one last year. Then there's Watson and Dobbs. Like, I don't know. I have no idea who it's going to be. I would lean one of them being the odd man out. They seem pretty much the same to me.
That's the thing. Is like, those 3 receivers you just named were basically sharing the wide receiver one role last year. And it was like a mix of, like, one guy was out or, like, one guy's having an off week. It, like, there wasn't one bona fide guy that was taking over the reins as like the top target, you know?
Yeah. And if you had any of them in fantasy, you were probably pulling your hair out. But, and the defense, oh man, the pass rush is okay. You know, Kenny Clark or Sean Gary will always be solid, but man, no Jair Alexander is going to hurt.
Yeah, that will. At least they got Xavier McKinney though in the secondary, so that's still got some good stuff going on in there.
Yep. So who's number nine?
9 minutes for 9 picks. How about that?
It. We want to get out of 45. So number nine is.
Let's go with the Vikings.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, pretty good roster top to bottom. It's just QB is going to be a massive question mark with McCarthy.
That's the biggest thing. Is
JJ McCarthy look good there? I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if Sam Darnold was able to perform, I'd say JJ McCarthy can too. But, like, different quarterbacks are weird with different systems, so you never know. Number eight, I had the Rams.
Yeah, the Rams, I think they got Alaric Jackson back on the offensive line, which is huge for them. They got Devontae Adams to pair up with a now healthy Puka Nacua, Kyren Williams, Matt Stafford. He's got at least one or two good years left in him. What holds them back for me for being top five, that defensive backfield is not good. Like, at all. It is a very bad defensive backfield. Like, the pass rush is going to be great, and I think the pass rush makes their DBs kind of look a little better than they are. But when they're not getting pressure, because there's going to be one game, every good team with a good pass rush has that, like, one game where you just can't touch the quarterback, like, at all. That's really when their DBs are going to get exposed.
Yeah. But
as a whole, they're good. I mean, you know, I can't wait to see what Adams and Nacua can do.
Same. No, I'm very excited to see how the Rams – I'm just excited to see Puka and Devontae Adams just lined up on the same side of the football as each other.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be fun. We were talking about this exact same thing last week, actually. How much fun yeah, it's going to be to watch that. Or just how fun the Rams offense is in general, too. But seven.
Number seven. Hear me out. This is where I put Tampa Bay.
Yeah.
I mean, look, you got Baker Mayfield. You got Chris Godwin. You got Mike Evans. Bucky Irving. A solid offensive line. Defense is a bit of a question mark. But Yaya Diabe, I think, is going to take a step forward. Vita Vey, of course, on the defensive line. Man, that's awesome to see. Levante David coming back for another year. Jamel Dean and Antoine Winfield in the defensive backfield. Let Baker bake, man. Just let him sling all over the yard. Let's have some fun with it.
I like it. I like that a lot. I was thinking all the words you just said, same thing with me. I love the offense. Defense, I think, can be strong, but there's still a lot of question marks there. Kudos to that. Six. I see you wrote Buffalo. I went KC, but I also put the Bills at seven. So I'd be willing to go Bills at six.
Yeah, I see it. The Bills are a team that's an above average team everywhere except QB, where you have Josh Allen, who's a top five quarterback. James Cook, I know I sound foolish, but he doesn't really scare me. Because for every game where he'd have like 150 scrimmage yards and 3 touchdowns, there'd be a game where he's averaging like 2 yards a carry. Very streaky. I know Bills Mafia is going to put my head through a table for it, but I'm sorry. I don't think Khalil Shakir is a number one. I think he's like a mid-tier number two, like not even a high-end two. He does not frighten me. Keon Coleman, not crazy about, but man, as long as they have Allen, they're going to be fine. And their defense is sneaky underrated. Christian Benford is really solid. Maybe Matt Milano can stay healthy. You got Ed Oliver and Greg Russo up front. I don't hate their defense, but their offense is literally one Josh Allen away from being bottom 10. But hey, as long as they got Josh Allen, they're going to be humming, which is why they're top 10. And also, I do like the defense.
Can't forget about Joey Bosa on the defense now, too.
Oh, Joey Bosa, one-year rental, but whatever.
Still, it's...
Let's move on to number five, then.
Five. I was going to go Chiefs at number five.
I could see that.
But
they're kind of like the Bills on steroids. You know, that's the thing. They're like the Bills on steroids, where instead of Josh Allen, you have Patrick Mahomes, where they're a good team, but it's going to be Patrick Mahomes. They're going to stay competitive as long as they have him. And look, don't get me wrong. Through the eye test and through the numbers, he's been on the decline. But they're still winning. And a lot of it's coaching, too. Andy Reid is a great coach. And Steve Spagnuolo, well, he is a little blitz reliant, and that really hurt him in the Super Bowl. I still think he's a good defensive coordinator. The one knock I have on the Chiefs coaching is Matt Nagy. Horrible OC. Get rid of him. I don't know why he's still there. But and maybe with Rashee Rice coming back healthy, there'll be a little more spark to that offense because I don't like ground and pound Kansas City. I don't think you can ride Isaiah Pacheco to a Super Bowl. He's a good complimentary piece, but he's not a bell cow.
Yeah.
But hey, Mahomes, man. He's always going to be top five.
He's inevitable. He will always have Kansas City as a top five team, no matter how terrible Kansas City is.
Yeah.
All right. Four. Yeah. We're at number four now. Washington.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There's no reason not to have Washington right now. Like Jaden Daniels. We say Mahomes is inevitable. I think Jaden Daniels might be the next Daniels. Yeah,
he's here. And here's the thing. They got better. They actually got better. They added Deebo Samuel, so now he has a real wide receiver, too, and Terry McLaurin's covered. Zach Ertz is an ageless wonder. You got Brian Robinson at running back along with I forgot the other one there. And sorry if I'm losing my train of thought. Adams in my ear, not very nice. But what I do like is that they now have two really good tackles. They drafted Josh Connerly out of Oregon, and they swung a trade for Laremy Tunsil. And that defensive backfield, which I had concerns about, you got Marshawn Lattimore, they got Jonathan Jones from New England, you still got Deron Payne at defensive tackle. Man, I think the Commanders are ready to take the next step and challenge Philly. Maybe they're not on Philly's level yet, but they've pretty much got a wild card on lock, barring like some freak injury.
I'm pretty sure you and I, or we just have Philly and Washington splitting the regular season anyways.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like it's just a given at this point.
Who's number three, though? Chris.
I'd be shocked if Philly were to get both on Washington, that's for sure.
Yep. So number three.
I have Baltimore, you have Detroit.
Fair enough. I would lean – here's why I have Detroit at three, right? Remember talking about the different phases of the game? I'll make this very quick. I don't know what to expect from them after they lose both their coordinators. Teams that lose both their coordinators in a single season always, always, always struggle because it's a bigger deal than you think.
I like that. So, I mean, you could say the same thing about the Eagles, though, and I think that you and I
they didn't lose both their coordinators. Vic Fangio is still there.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about Vic Fangio. But, yeah. You might have me going Detroit at three. I don't know, though, because Baltimore is one of those teams that's just like has never like just regular season merchants.
Now, I hear it, but from a roster standpoint alone, I do like their DB room a tiny bit better. It's close.
But I feel like I feel like I just like Detroit's roster more.
No. Offensively, but hey, man, Derrick Henry, Lamar's a better QB than Goff.
Yeah.
Better line. I mean, they're pretty much evenly split, but once again, the Ravens DB room of Marlon Humphrey, Jair Alexander, Nate Wiggins, Malachi Starks, and Kyle Hamilton, that's what puts it over, as well as Lamar and King Henry. Chris, I'll leave it up to you. Who's at three?
Fine. All right. Let's go with
Come on.
All right, you convinced me on Detroit at three, so let's go Detroit three, Baltimore two. Like, the thing with me is that, like, John Harbaugh has been kind of growing on me in a negative way recently.
Yeah. Honestly, same. it kind of balances out. Lions lost both their coordinators, whereas the Ravens stayed the same, but I'm not a big Harbaugh guy. So
yeah, exactly.
That balances out. They're 2A and 2B.
Yeah. So now that we've revealed.
I wonder who's going to be number one.
Number one, the Philadelphia Eagles.
It's got to be.
Everything they touch turns to gold. Like Howie over there has been an absolute dog in constructing this. Like we talk about the number of guys that the Eagles lost during this past offseason, and it still feels like that they're bound to run the league. It's insane.
Because they had a lot of depth. They could lose depth. Yeah. You lost Milton Williams and Josh Sweat. That sucks. But you still have Jalen Carter and Nolan Smith.
Exactly. Like that's
losing Warren Burke is not ideal, but you still have N'Kobe Dean. Like it's just, you know, like, I mean, losing those guys sucks, but you had the depth to spare.
Yeah. Like this is an Eagles team where, like, in 10 years, depending on the type of run that the Eagles have, like this could be seen as one of the greater stretches in league history, you know?
Yep. As long as they have Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley, and AJ Brown, that offense is still going to be fine.
Exactly.
And the O-line, man.
Yeah.
Scary unit.
Scary, scary, scary. All right. Well, that is our NFL 32 team ranking. Boy, oh boy. CJ, you want to make a graphic?
No, I don't think I will. That sounds like hell.
Slow week in the news cycle. Real quick, we mentioned it earlier, Darren Waller getting sent to the Dolphins, coming out of retirement. It's now official. He's now a Miami Dolphin. So a compensatory 7th-round pick was sent to the Giants as a result. And quarterback season 2 coming out featuring Joe Burrow, Jared Goff, and Kirk Cousins once again. So starting today, July 8th as well. So I'm pretty sure it's on Netflix as we speak, or at least episode 1. I don't know. I forget how they release the episodes now. But yeah, that is all of our scheduled content for today, though. CJ, you got anything else?
No, that's pretty much it.
Word. That'll do it for us tonight. Thank you for tuning in. Be sure to, or we have new episodes out on Tuesdays at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time. Be sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel and also have all our episodes available on Spotify, Spreaker, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Google Podcasts, and so much more. Be sure to follow our Instagram, FumRooski_podcast, to keep up with the pod and the latest coverage on the NFL. Otherwise, he's CJ Medeiros. I'm Chris Kostich. We'll see you next Tuesday. Over and out.